Having said that, we enter the next phase of benchmarking for continuous improvement. That is what was also earlier mentioned to you, that you have to continuously improve. The technique that has been used for this is the benchmarking. You may have a different other way to have a continuous improvement. You may, in fact, your internal audit, internal feedback system can also help you to continuously improve. Here, point is to introduce you to a different concept called benchmarking, a continuous systematic process of measuring and assessing products, services, and practice of a recognized leader in the field to determine the extent to which they might be adapting to achieve superior performance. So here, reference to contact is somebody in the industry who is a leader, and how they perform, if they might be adapting to achieve service performance. You measure your system, process, etc., product and all vis-a-vis them, and find the gaps where you are not adhering to, not falling behind, lagging, vis-a-vis somewhere you may be better than off. So the idea is where you are weak, falling short, etc., that area should be picked up. Benchmarking is all about comparisons, and comparisons can be driven from spur on organizations or individual performance. It is a total that provides goal for realistic improvement and helps you to understand the changes required for improving performance. So now let me explain you. Comparisons and comparisons can be driving force. So comparison means you will compare how they do their range development, how do they do their packaging SKUs, that is different pack of 250, pack of 500, pack of this thing. Having produced pack of 250, 500, 1 kg, how are they packaging it? That's a secondary. So various such things. How are they taking orders? Okay, for such a wide range of, this thing. I am just briefly narrating because in the next slide is an example. So everything is comparison based. Okay, then you see the outcome of your activity versus outcome of the way they do it, and then determine your improvement path. In my life, friends, I have experienced this at a bearing company where we did the benchmarking, and believe me, we did a benchmarking with the biscuit manufacturing company, one of the leading biscuit manufacturing company in that time, which is 95-96. Can you beat it? But yeah, here of course the definition says recognized leader in the field. We went one step ahead and we considered somebody outside the field. Now, it was a startling approach, multiple range. So they also make, this also company make multiple range, multiple production line. They have a multiple production line. We also, a bearing manufacturer, multiple production line, multiple SKU within each product line. So multiple SKU within the Good Day or within the Parleji, they may have a different varieties, etc., or different SKU, or even they're packed, pack of 5 rupees, pack of 15 rupees, pack of 50 rupees, etc. Multiple packaging, the way they are packed, commercially sellable or distribution oriented, etc. Varied customizations, so they were able to do varied customizations. We also, as a bearing manufacturer, were doing wide network. Many, and we also had a widest network and wide customer segments. Here also there are different customers. For 5 rupees, Parleji may be the lower middle class, but they also come out with chocolate cookies and all, for which may be high income individuals. So wide customer segmentation. So you understand the benchmarking. Now we approached them, agreed upon, and we studied all aspects. How they manage product line, how they receive multiple orders. So when do they start their production? After their production line is booked or before they produce and keep it ready? And varied such questions. How they look at SKU, how they combine, assort, pack the SKUs, etc. How they go about customization when they have such a wide variety, etc. All those things, wide network. So how they handle network, how they have the ordering system with the network, how they have delivery system with the network, etc. And therefore, how they handle each segment differently. So that was a very revealing experience. So that's benchmarking. So under benchmarking, as explained in the book to you, it's an identifying services to be benchmarked. And you see, it's a circular reference. Okay. So circular reference means identify comparable institutions. So you have to find out comparable leader within or outside field. The definition earlier was just mentioning field. With my example that I shown you, you can put it also as an outside field, but they should be comparable in certain key parameters. Then collect data, identify the performance gap. So with their data and their output and productivity, efficiency, effectiveness, you match your this thing, verify where the gap is, then estimate the pre-performance potential. So here point is, like, now you identify gap, what if I meet the gap, what if I remove the gap? So what will be the benefit? That will be the pre-performance outcome protocol. Communication and get acceptance. So now you decide that this is what you are going to handle. So you communicate, then work around the revised target, develop action plan to reach those targets which are aligned with the gaps that you have found, and minimizing the gaps, and act according to the target and monitor the progress. So now that you have set up a process, you set the target, you have realigned your process, way of working, which is as per your learning with the leader or the institution, as you say, adjust process according to monitoring results. So you now, when you see the outcome is coming in, if the outcome is not again as expectations, you have to go back to see that what needs to be adjusted. That should ultimately lead to improvement in your productivity and efficiency. So that's a benchmarking way of working. For benchmarking, there's further more thing. Benchmarking involves rigorous self-examination. Therefore, careful quantification, lot of quantitative data, lot of qualification of important performance measurement. We cannot just take things as it is, needs an in-depth probing and the development of a process for continuous improvement. So whenever you do the benchmarking, what you will get is a data that stops at the gap, but after the gap, how do you take the continuous improvement? So that has to be decided upon. Often involves major cultural or operational changes. The working way of benchmarking requires organizations to constantly be ready for agility, changes, etc. Identifying strengths and weaknesses, increasing client satisfaction, prioritizing improvement, opportunities, setting goals, continuous changes are all marks of the successful organization. So what this tries to tell you, organizations operating on benchmarking route of continuous improvement will show numerous qualities of the leader. So that's about benchmarking. So what we are going to look into is various critical other salient aspects that requires attention while organization is trying to be experience, evidence-based, customer-centric organizations. The first thing is the demand data. All decisions must be data-driven. So organization operating in today's world, especially the digital world, real-time data availability is much more. Datas are proliferating in different touch points of the consumer's life. However, there should be a platform, single comprehensive and integrated solution. So need to bring the data and channel into single platform so that data analytics, business analytics can play. Data-driven marketing is a systematic process of collecting, analyzing and synthesizing data, making a judgment about the data. So after you have the data synthesized, you will be able to judge something out of it. Then making a decision based on knowledge derived from your judgment in order to improve the outcome. So now judgment means observation, inferences, tells you a story. And when you take a decision based on available symptoms and trends, etc., you will have a better marketing decisions taken. So that's the essence of demand data. Look outside your organizations for data. It also tells you to get the competitive data analysis done. In short, irrespective of what is say, written for the points, competitive analysis of the data vis-a-vis you is a critical aspect of evidence-based marketing, where various competitive intelligence inputs are put in. Your statistical data is compared with their for the similar period or a previous period, etc., to get that evidence whether your efficiency has improved, whether your effectiveness has improved, etc., and then accordingly implement the forward paths. So that's a look outside, eliminate noise. So that is unnecessary data needs to be also removed. Many times the habit is to collect and keep data which probably are not utilized, or if they are utilized along with the other data, it may create inconsistency, it may create a lot of clutter, may lead to over analysis, etc. So organization needs to really find out what data is statistically and strategically significant for you, what metrics should you be observing. So this data that is you collect and relevance you decide has to be in relation to the metrics that you are observing. So if your metrics require specific a set of data, then of course they are the relevant data, they are not into the noise area. So be very clear about this relevance of two things. Then apply analytics, that is relevant analysis, analytical technique will allow you to gain insight into the business process. This part comes in the era of business analytics, marketing and the data and the automation that is done today. Applying business analytics, you can have conclusive analytics, you can have predictive analytics. These are some of the types of the conclusive means you will just identify the reason for the particular situation. Predictive means you will determine what may happen. So that's the extreme of analytics. So that was something that if you use from a creative process into highly data driven process, analytics will determine the outcome of campaign. So that's a predictive, this thing. You can put the predictive analytics to use that if I release this campaign, what will be the expected outcome, and then take your decisions, then set your target, etc. Demographic studies, customer segmentation, conjoint and other techniques allow marketers to use large amount of consumer purchase survey and panel data. So consumer purchase survey and panel data to understand and communicate marketing strategy. So data that may come to you through this, through actual purchase, through surveys that you do, through panel that you have set up to get the regular purchasing behavior, etc., that also can be channelized into marketing analytics, business analytics to get a real insight and determine your decision and its effectiveness thereof. So analytics is also a very powerful tool. Use a customer's viewpoint to get the competitive advantage. Most innovative companies realize they are opportunity to invest in deeply in their social customer experience. So customer viewpoint, the word is customer viewpoint, for which the social platforms are available. As they say, if you cannot beat them, join them. So how organizations can really develop their social customer experience for their customers, which is also experiment based, where you do various kind of experiments, maybe in the form of a community setting, maybe in the form of certain interactiveness that you create, etc. Social customer experience that includes peer-to-peer support enable business to help customers help themselves. So you also create a forum where each one helps other by way of sharing their experiences. Developing a commerce strategy through social customer experience, that is social platform based customer experience oriented commerce strategy, that is a business and a market development strategy, is far more cost efficient today than any other mass marketing technique. So there's a customer viewpoint is also very important. The social customer experience economy is the new frontier of a competitive advantage. So come somebody who will probably be a laggard, but they took on the social, they took on that social economy, customer experience driven economy, and they become experts. So they probably have even outbeaten their age old rivals. So that's the power of this social customer experience based economy. It is a place where business are not only rising to the challenge of social media, but they are also using it to solve complex business problem, fuel business change and stay ahead of the pack. So social media is not only used for just social conversation, but use the data also for the solution of the business problem, growth by way of adopting to new product, developing a solution to the customer problem, and that way stay ahead of the pack, means achieve your competitive positioning. So that's about customer viewpoint using social marketing. So that's what this particular earlier slide that says the strategy through the social customer experience or social business model, that's what we spoke about, one need to be aware of. So use of customer viewpoint to gain the competitive advantage. So now we understand different phases of evidence-based customer-centric service marketing. So different phases that is involved in the evidence-based customer service customer-centric service marketing. So essentially, there are three phases: optimization, experimentation, and transformation. Okay. So what is optimization? Optimization is get the best out of what you are doing. So that's optimization, is determining the value of the company, each product and each offer, and improving the communication so that the value of the communication, the customer understands the value. Optimization is determining the value of the company, value of each product, value of each offer, and thereby improving the communication of that value to the customers. So optimization requires you to understand first of all the value of for the company, of the product, etc., and then put that value in such a way that it gets communicated to the customers. This include communication optimization, means do the optimized way of communication. You neither spend more nor underspend. Conversion rate optimization, how can you convert the best number of leads in available method and experimental based. You did probably call center based, you did probably the face to face interaction based. Now that you have an evidence to support that the call center based closure, this thing is working fine, then you do that. So optimization of a conversion rate, and then also includes messaging, touch points, interaction, delivery process, and customer engagement and exchanges. So it covers and encompasses so many areas in short. So that's about the optimization. Then comes the experimentation. It is all about testing to learn more about what values resonate. So while you are testing, you test what value resonate more with them. So it could be value in terms of the product offering, communication options, the offer options, etc., and what messaging and process to secure transactions are the most effective. So now once you understand what is valuing, the way you are transmitting, communicating, doing, dealing it, what is it most effective? It includes A-B split testing. That is, for the same communication, different types of formats will be developed. For giving an offer, different types of offer options are developed. And then they are put before consumers. And then they are seen which one is found to be effective. They are exposed, consumers are exposed to both. And then then the outcome specific to area, outcome overall, etc., are measured to determine where customers are hitting right. What is it that they are able to comprehend and accept? So that is A-B split testing. That's a technique of a marketing research. Customer liking, acceptance or specific treatment itself is an evidence. So now they are saying, when you do this split test analysis, where is an evidence marketing, you may ask. So what they are saying, that this, when customers are exposed to different alternative communication to derive one specific communication that impacts the most or one offer that appeals to them most, what you are doing is customer is giving you is like and acceptance. So that itself is an evidence. You might have done it on a test marketing level, but that itself is an evidence. And the last one is a transformation. Transformation focuses on not only applying what has been learned. So it doesn't matter only just learning and applying it, but also helping your marketing to make a cultural shift. The transformation, the word itself suggests, it's not all about application of the knowledge, but it's all about ensuring the shift that is required, ensuring the cultural shift that is required within your organization. You truly change the way your organization makes the decisions. Customers are at the center, focuses on customer experience, customer themselves gives his likes, dislikes, etc., and or you make them go through product clinic, concept testing, etc., and then arrive at your decision. So the way marketing or the entire organization operates in shows a cultural shift. So that's a transformation. So different phases of evidence-based customer-centric service marketing that we studied, starting with optimization, experimentation, and transformation. So with this, friends, we have completed this chapter 12. Thank you.